Thank you, Ron and Chick. Weren't the kids great as well? They did just a fabulous job, and to learn Spanish, too, in such a short amount of time. That was pretty awesome. So before we get started this morning, I wanted to share a couple of things with you just to make you aware. First is next Sunday, the 27th of December, we're having a worship celebration Sunday. And what that's going to entail is we're going to have worship through song, worship through scripture reading. We're going to have some behind the story of some hymns that are so familiar to us. But also we're going to be challenged with scripture as we look into 2016. And I hope that you'll be able to be a part of that next Sunday. And also on January 3rd, we begin a new series in the Gospel of Mark, which is called Always, the Life and Work of Jesus. So begin to take time in Marks 3, 4, and 5. That's where we're going to be focusing our time on, and as we begin that on January 3rd. So just those two things I wanted to make you aware of. And as we begin this morning, I wanted to ask you, have you ever waited for someone to show up at your house? Any of you? Okay. And now, especially with the time of holidays and of Christmas, you know, there may be family that is coming, and so you're waiting for them to arrive. Some of you may not be waiting for them to arrive. But what I'm saying is this, is that they may tell you, here's the time that I will be here. And then that time comes, and then it's 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, and maybe you get a text or a call that says, we're not going to be there for another half hour. And that's my dad. And I'd say, Dad, can you just get Mom to drive so you can be here a little quicker? You know. And so then I'd ask, you know, why aren't they here yet? You know, because I'm a person that who likes to be on time. I remember when we first came to Hope Community Church to begin the interview process, I remember telling Steve Obot that I said, we will be there at midnight. We were there at midnight. And he was like, wow, I didn't think you were going to be here. I said, we need to be here. But getting back to the idea of waiting on someone, maybe some of you get a little anxious when that half-hour mark comes, or that hour mark. Whether for good or for bad, you may get anxious and you begin to start feeling these emotions of what is it going to be like when they're here? What is it? What is the week going to be like? What is those next few days going to bring? And see, we've been looking at, in our Advent series, Jesus is the making of a Christmas story. We've been talking about different things of who Jesus is. And you heard last week that Jesus is shepherd, and he is one who guides and he guards. And we can rest in that. We can have joy in that, that the greatest love that God did for us was give us his son, Jesus Christ. And so today what we want to take a look at is the arrival. We want to take a look at the arrival. We're going to be looking in Isaiah chapter 9 today, and we're going to turn to that in just a moment. But what I want to say to us today is this, if you're following along in your outlines, is that Jesus is our coming King. Jesus is our coming King. Isaiah 42:13 says, the Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. See, for followers of Jesus here today, we can have the assurance of this, that we know that what God has set in motion, he will accomplish. What he set in motion was a plan of redemption and rescue, and he has put that in motion, and he will follow through. And yet at times, we can get unsettled or anxious, and we lose focus, don't we? We lose focus on the one who is our coming King, but he is also our King now. And we begin to lose hope and we forget about the peace that God gives us while we wait. And see, in this passage here in Isaiah chapter 9 today, it's God was promising a faithful king who would be born, who would rule and reign forever. Now, in this Isaiah passage, there is a child that is at the centerpiece of the prophecy that was spoken of the Messiah, about a future event that was to come. But yet this child was one that was going to provide a sign of hope that there would be a future. And so in Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to watch it being read on the screen. And you're going to hear verses 1 through 6, and then I will come back up and read verse 7, and then we'll just take some time together in God's word. So just take a look at the screen. And verse 7 says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." God, these are your words to us today. And my prayer is, God, that we would be attentive to hear what it is that you want to speak to us. Father, we set aside what we feel that we want, but yet what we bring is we need you. And so, Jesus, would you be our light today? And I know you are. And I pray that we would be people who choose to journey with you as we wait on the coming King, our Messiah. Amen. So this morning, as we look together at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, we want to take a few moments to look at these verses and what they're saying to us today. And then what we also want to do is we want to take a few moments and look at a life that is peace from God with a past tense statement of when I ruled the world. So if you have your Bibles today or your device, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to turn there now because we're going to look at these verses together. So Isaiah chapter 9, and beginning in verse 1, what we're seeing here is the setup. We're seeing here that tragedy has come to two of the tribes of Israel. And we've shared during our series that the kingdom of God has been divided, the northern and the southern kingdom. But these two tribes that were in deep trouble were that of Zebulun and Naphtali. And can we show that map there shown of Zebulun and Naphtali? And once again, as you can see here, up here where you have, Naphtali and Zebulun. So they're up there, and they're near the Sea of Galilee. And it was the first tribes to suffer an Assyrian invasion. And this was by Tiglath-Pileser, hopefully I pronounced that right, the third, and this was during around 734 and 732 BC. And yet what was happening is that God was letting his people know once again that your time of captivity, the time of war, will soon be over, and that there will be a Davidic king that comes to rescue. And we see in verse 1, it says this, it says, "But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan." This term, the way of the sea, was a major highway from Egypt to Damascus. And we see that in Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, when Jesus begins his ministry, it says, "Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah." And so we see here is that where the Assyrians brought about death and destruction, this would be the same place that Jesus would proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Because Capernaum was a town that was near around the Sea of Galilee. So we begin to see that God's saying that the war, the captivity, will soon be done and over with. But yet we see the passage where we begin this picture of hope, this picture of a future. In verse 2, it says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And so we see that the people were living in a foreign land, being held captive. And these words, darkness, and this term, deep darkness, it was talking about despair, hopelessness, or even utter despair. It was to the point of asking the question, will there be any peace? Is there going to be a future for me? Is there going to be a future for my children? Because what I see is that there is not going to be any change anytime soon. And these people had lost their way. And yet what we see here through the prophet Isaiah is this, is we see a future being spoken of. We see a future that is certain because of what God has set in motion and what he has already planned. And he's saying light will come. He's saying that not only will there be light for my people, but Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is going to be a light for the Gentiles. In other words, people who were outside of the Jewish culture. And what he's saying is that Jesus would be one that would bring salvation and make it available to all. Where the kingdom of God was once local, through Jesus Christ, it became global through his work on the cross. And so the question is, what does light do? You're allowed to answer. What does light do? Chases the darkness away. It shows us what's in the dark. If we had these lights out and I put my iPhone flashlight on, I could see who was sitting where. But we see with this word light is that God's creative words brought about physical light in the beginning. And not only that, God's creative words through Jesus Christ gives you and I spiritual life if we choose by faith in what he has done for us. Not only do his creative words give us life, but it gives us an understanding through his Holy Spirit, the gospel. As we heard the song, Blessings, you and I can ask the question, is Jesus enough? Is he enough? No matter what I face, no matter what's going on, is he enough? Boris Becker, after he won his third Wimbledon tennis championship, in an interview was asked, what is going to be your next greatest challenge? And his answer was this, suicide. And they asked, why was it? He said, I have the championships, I have the money, I can get anything I want, but it's what's on the inside that I wrestle and struggle with the most. Where is it purpose? Where is meaning? Is this making any sense in my life? But what we know here is when God, through his prophet Isaiah, said that the Messiah is coming, you and I can know this, is that salvation is here. Salvation is here in the person of Jesus Christ. As we have been sharing through our series, is that it all points to Jesus. And because of Jesus, he came and took on sin and death. He took on our punishment or paid the debt that we owed so that we can be in right relationship with God, that we could have peace with God the Father through his Son. And so for you and I, that's what we can hold on to. That's why you and I can have peace in this world, because of what God has already done. Knowing that Jesus has come to this world, but yet he's our coming King. And through his Holy Spirit, he reminds us that he is the one who will lead us as we wait on him. And so we saw the first six verses of the Isaiah passage. And we talked about how light brought in, it shows us what's dark. And we know that in our hearts are dark until the light of Christ shined in on us. And showed us our darkness, and showed us how we were disconnected from the Heavenly Father. And as a follower of Jesus, guess what? There are still areas of my life where God is shining the flashlight on and saying, I want to work and change and transform your heart. Because that's a dark place, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to change and transform our lives. He wants for us to willingly surrender rather than hide that area of our lives. And we may think on the inside that everybody else looks at us and says, I have it all together. But if we say that, the gospel's not for us then. The gospel is for those who say, I am broken and I am beaten down and my heart is dark and I do need Jesus and I want him to be enough. And we call to him and he will answer. Isn't that great news? That is amazing news. And so I wanted to show the second half of this video on how the light of Christ can bring change and transformation to each of us. So take a look. And so as we see the Savior of the world, this baby that was coming into the world was one that was going to bring healing and restoration and peace between humankind and man. That's why we celebrate this time of year, that Christmas is internal. For what God has already done. The scriptures say in Ephesians 5:8, it says, at one time you lived in darkness. Now you are living in the light that comes from the Lord. Live as children who have light of the Lord in them. We may need to ask ourselves, is our lives illuminating Jesus? Is my life one that is illuminating the essence of Christ? And so Isaiah is saying here that when those who are in utter despair and feeling like there is no way out, hope was coming in the person of Jesus. In verses 3 to 5, what God begins to speak of, he begins to speak of a new future. Again, where despair once existed, they could celebrate because God was letting them know that they are going to reap a harvest. And there's going to be a benefit of the victory of God. He said, there will be victory. You may feel in your life today that this is not the most wonderful time of the year. And yet God is saying to us today, rest in me, have peace in me, and there is victory. No matter what that looks like, there is victory. And the famous passage that we know of in Isaiah 9 in verse 6 talks about a child being born. And this child being born is about to change things. Because it doesn't say that the government will rest on the king's shoulders. It says the government will rest upon the child's shoulders. You see, in time of war, there has to be domination, doesn't there? Someone has to win. But yet what God was saying is he was not going to allow Israel's enemies to be powerful. There's not going to be any more armies to come against. But it was going to be through the influence of a child being born. If you noticed in the first half of the video, when they looked at the boy who represented Jesus and the door was open, they were surprised, weren't they? Because with a Messiah, in their minds were someone who was a warrior, a conqueror, mighty in battle. And yet this baby is born in possibly a cave among animals with a teenage girl and her husband. And yet this is the one that God is saying he is coming to rule and reign. Not only will he rule and reign, but he will rule and reign forever. See, it wasn't just God with us, but it was God being born on earth. It was God's humanity and divinity coming together. And that blows my mind, folks. Being 100% man and 100% human. And here, the question is, well, what is this Messiah going to look like? And yet in verse 6, it says that Jesus is the one who will be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That's who the coming Messiah was going to be. And that's who the coming Messiah is and will be forever. And so in verse 7, Isaiah goes on to say, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. You see, Jesus' reign will result in peace. Because at the time of Jesus' birth, it was a time of what was called Pax Romana, which means Roman peace. And so the Roman Empire had Roman peace due to domination and destruction. It was, this is the way, if you want peace, this is the way it is. It came through domination. It came through human answer for peace. And we're going to talk about that on Christmas Eve. But when I think about this idea of humans, and we're looking to our hope in humankind rather than Christ, who is our life, who is our peace, there was a study done back in 2010 by the BBC, and they asked the question, what do you believe is the greatest threat to our global society? Now, up to 2010, the answer was, one, poverty, two, the environment, or it would be the environment and poverty. Now, for the first time in 2010, when that same question was asked, the answer was corruption. They said people are having a harder time obeying authority, leadership, in any area, in any arena. Corruption. That's the condition of our heart, folks, because we would rather turn to be ones who want authority, who want power. And yet we're seeing here that Jesus is one who is going to bring peace eternally. Verse 7 goes on to say, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. You see, the Messiah who was to come was going to treat people fairly, and he was going to show how to live God's right way. And so when we see that the greatness of Jesus' government, what you and I can know as his followers today is this, is that things will be right again. Things will be right again. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning of verse 24, it says, "Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death." So you and I can live in the truth that the enemy has been defeated. Not he will be, he has been defeated. And we can live in that truth today. How's it going to happen? Well, verse 7 ends by this, saying this. It says, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." In other words, God's passion for his people drives him and his plan and his purpose. One commentator put it this way, "God is like a jealous lover who will not abandon his people." He is jealous for us. His love is so great, he is jealous for you and I. You know, when it comes to the future, I don't know about you, but I am someone who would love to know what is going on. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but I don't know what the future holds tomorrow. And I am a what about, and what if this scenario, and what if that scenario? I don't know, anybody? Maybe just me? Okay, and I want to know that. And yet what, even just through this study, God has been teaching me, it's peace. Have peace. I hold your future. You can rest in that. Go with me, the shepherd, to guide you and to guard you in your life, because we will be reunited soon. So guess what you don't have to do? You and I, we don't have to hold our breath. God will fix things again in his time. And the beautiful thing is, as we've said many times before, God's presence with God's people will be reunited once again. That is so amazing and so wonderful. But in the now, in the today, really we have to ask ourselves, are we surrendering to the authority of Christ? Really, that's what it is. Are we surrendering to the authority of Christ? Because here's the thing, God handles our outcomes. God will handle this outcome of returning. What you and I have to do is handle ourselves, just like me and just like you. Because if we believe as followers of Christ that he will rule and reign forever, imagine what life would be like if you allowed him to rule and reign in your heart today. This isn't just a future event, folks. This is now. This is available today. And so, as we look at this passage, we see that the prophet Isaiah spoke of a coming Messiah. He spoke of a Messiah that was going to be born as a child, but was going to be fully God. And not only would he be fully God, but this was going to be a king who ruled through peace and love and grace and mercy with justice and truth, not one of destruction and domination. Light was coming. And for you and I, Jesus is our coming king. But for you and I today, what does that mean for us? How do we apply this to our lives? And so for the next few moments, I just want to talk to you about when I ruled the world. When I ruled the world. That includes you too. I'm saying when I ruled the world, but that's all of us here. But I want to give us five words when it comes to this idea of having peace with God in our lives today. The first word is this, is pause. We want to pause and ask ourselves, where am I unsettled? Where am I anxious? So we have to pause. And maybe for some of us, we have to ask the question, is my schedule dictating my life to the point where I can't pause? And I am unsettled. But it's asking the question, where am I unsettled? So what we need to do is first we need to pause if we want to live a life where Christ rules and reigns. So then after we pause, we evaluate. We evaluate. And we look at the areas of our lives where we know that Jesus has shined his light on it. For me, like I just shared a few moments ago, it's worrying about the future. What's next? What's going to happen? And so we look at those areas his light has shined. So we evaluate our lives. The next word we see here is we answer. We answer. Because when we answer, God, we're either going to say no thanks or I surrender. We're going to say no thanks or I surrender. So we will answer God one way or another. So we pause, we evaluate, and we answer. And if we answer with I surrender, that I'm going to allow you to rule and reign in my heart, you're the king of my life, then we can go with confidence. You and I can go with confidence because, as we have said today, through Christ there is victory. If he has already defeated the grave, then we can know through the power of God that it is possible through him that we can make it through this life as we wait on him. So we can have that confidence that comes from God. And finally, there's eternity. There is eternity. See, it's by faith that you and I know what is to come. Now, that doesn't mean that we just sit there and just, well, I'm just going to wait. But there are things that he has for our lives. There is purposes that he has set out for us. And once again, the song that was saying there are blessings that God has for us doesn't mean that your house is going to get bigger or your income is going to swell. It's just saying that God wants to give you blessings that he has promised through his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants you to pursue. He wants you to have a desperate need for him. And I know that I get things and distractions that get in my way that I lose that perspective. That I only look at the now sometimes, worrying about the future and forgetting about the now. And yet what we see here is that there is eternity in view. So we want to pause. We want to evaluate. We want to answer. We want to have confidence. And we want to keep eternity in mind. And so just in the best way that I could, why don't we show what comes when we do those things? I do believe is peace. There's peace. Yeah, I came up with that one on my own, folks. There we go. But we have peace with God. And we can have a peace that says, Jesus, you are enough. You are enough. It says here in Philippians 4:7, it says, and God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I went to go pick up my daughter from college on Thursday, but before I went, she sent me a text and said, I'm not going to be ready in time, so could you just wait? I got some other stuff to do. I said, no problem. Probably about 20 minutes later, I get another text that says, oh, by the way, we're on lockdown. So where does Jeff's mind go? San Bernardino? Paris? It goes to the threats for schools in California and New York? And I was like literally a mess in my head. And the irony of it all is I was preparing for today. I was literally preparing for today when I got that text. And I had to say, you know what, God? It's going to be all right. Nothing. It's going to be all right. But if it's not all right, it's going to be all right. And that was hard for me to say. But here's the great thing about it, is that she's here, and everything's all right. But in those moments, when we get those things that come at us that we weren't expecting, or as the holiday seasons roll around, what does peace with God look like for you? If he is your coming king, what is it about him not ruling and reigning in your heart and life now? Or who is worthy then of praise in your life? Who is the one who deserves your praise in your life? Or maybe for some of us today, we're just underwhelmed by what God has done. Or maybe we may feel that we have it all together. But Jesus came for the broken, and he came for the hurting, and he even came for a corrupt person like me. And he said, I'll take it all, as that boy did on the screen. He said, I'll take it all. You just come to me and I'll take it all on your behalf by my grace and mercy and my love for you. You know, if Jesus came to make us perfect or more perfect or a better person, then we miss it. And so I want to encourage us today that our coming King wants to rule and reign in your hearts today. And not only does he want to do that, but he's reminding us that we will be together once again. May Christmas be of the heart this year. And may we say that Jesus, our peace, is enough. Jesus, we come to you today. And you know, we have our moments in lives, God, you know this, that we're unsettled. And we're anxious. And we just wish we knew what was around the corner. And God, when we follow you, sometimes it is just downright hard. Jesus, may we be people who say you are enough. And because of that, we can live in true peace that comes from you. That Lord, for those of us who are in despair, or even in utter despair, that light has come. May we believe that truth. Father, and in the waiting, Father, may we remember that you're the one who handles all the details, and that you ask us to trust and follow you. So Lord, we thank you that you are our wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Father, this is yours now. Speak to us as you have been. Father, work in us. May we respond to you with yes. And that may we understand that the peace that comes from you, we may not be able to explain it. And sometimes we may not even understand it, but we know that it's from you. So thank you for being our coming King, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.